friends, and welcome to MERS Monday, the official podcast of the MERS Political Newsletter. I'm Kyle Malin. We've got a special edition of MERS Monday this week. We've got the two most experienced pollsters in the state of Michigan joining us here, Bernie Porn and Steve Mitchell. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Glad to be with you.
It is always terrific to be with you and my good friend Bernie.
You know,
and my good friend Steve.
You know, this is really interesting. I didn't know until just a few moments ago that nobody has done more polls in the state of Michigan since 1998 than you guys. That's kind of cool. I didn't know I was in such illustrious company.
We should probably qualify it to the extent that polls that have been published.
Okay, there you go.
I think that there may be a couple other pollsters that have done as many polls. However, they are for clients, probably partisan clients that have not been released.
We'll put that little asterisk here then behind that claim. Well, let's talk about the polls that we have done now for 2014. Now, since you guys have done polls going back several years.
Since trees were new.
It's always good to be with older guys. And I'm only kidding. I'm saying older than Bernie.
Well, let's talk about how this is shaping up, 2014, a month away from the election, compared to past elections. How would you compare 2014 to what election year, Bernie?
I think that this is probably turning out to be a normal election, meaning that it is not a wave election to the benefit of either party. You're not going to see an election like 2008 where it was a wave election to benefit Democrats, and it will not be a wave election like 2010 where Rick Snyder is going to win by 20 points. You know, I don't see that at this juncture. Things can change, but that's what I have been reading.
Put a year to this, Steve. This looks like 19 or 2000.
I think this is a status quo election. I actually think it's much like 2012. I mean, this is we had three consecutive wave elections in 2006, 2008, and 2010. And then we had a status quo election in Michigan in 2012. The president wins by 9.5 points, yet the Republicans retain control of the Michigan House. The congressional delegation in Michigan remains the same. The Supreme Court remained the same. The status quo was essentially maintained. And I think in this year, you're going to see the status quo maintained. It is likely the governor will win re-election. The Republicans will retain control of the House and the Senate, as well as the Supreme Court. And at this point, it looks as though Terry Lynn Land is moving the margin out against, Gary Peters is moving the margin out against Terry Lynn Lands.
So let's talk about enthusiasm here. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of enthusiasm in this election. Bernie, is that what you're seeing?
When we ask questions, often a 0 to 10 scale in some of our polls where we say, how motivated are you to go to the polls? There isn't the kind of difference between the political parties that we saw in 2010 or 2008 where one party or the other were much more motivated than the other.
So how do you weight something like that, Steve? So when you decide, okay, we're going to ask X percent of Republicans, X percent of Democrats, X percent of independents, what are you putting into that decision?
If you're talking about how we weight to see what the party affiliation is, polling is a lot more difficult today than it was 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. And I think, Bernie, you would agree with me. I mean, it really, in my mind, is a lot more difficult. You've got cell phones. If you're using an operated assisted phone poll, then you can call cell phones. If you're using an automated one, you cannot. So a lot of the stuff we've been doing is automated and makes it more difficult, and we have to do more weighting. We're weighting it right now at about a 5% or plus 5% Democratic sample. In other words, of the people that we call on average, it's about 42% of them identified themselves as Democrats and 37% as Republicans. Bernie, what are you doing on that weighting?
Well, it's coming out. This last one was 41-37. The one before that was 42-38. So all in the same range.
So how do you get to that number?
We're getting that in the raw data as well. We're getting it at 4 or 5.
Okay.
Because I'm a Republican in the background, and I've been at this a long time, I like to weight things. I like to take a look at things and try to take my own bias out. And so rather than weighting it at 4, I'll weight it up to 5.
You know, just to take care of
To take care of any predetermined bias I have. Same thing with African-American turnout. I've got African-Americans now at about 11%.
In gubernatorial election years, we normally have it about 10. In presidential election years, 12, no more than 13, but no, normally 12. And I've been criticized for that, people saying it should be 14 or 15.
I mean, that's
the population.
That's right. They're not going to vote greater than the population of 13%.
Right. And you have the population, which is African-American. Then you look at the voting age population, and then you look at turnout. As a matter of fact, that's why the mayoral election, where at the time we were working, this is when we were working for the Free Press. This was between Sharon McPhail and
Dennis Archer.
Dennis Archer. We had Dennis Archer winning. And the poll from our competitor came out and said that it was a tug of war. And the reason was they were basing it on population instead of turnout. And we had more whites voting in the city of Detroit, reflective of what the turnout would be. Mm. Therefore, the win went to Dennis Archer fairly easily, but they had it at an even up. You can't base it on population or even voting age. You have to look at turnout statistics.
That's absolutely true. I mean, we had the same situation. I was polling in 1992 in that same race, in 93 it would have been, and I was polling for Channel 2 in Detroit, Fox 2, which now I'm back polling for them again after all these years. So it's all circular.
It's all circular
in this business. The best example I've ever seen of that is really not in Michigan, but it's in polling in 1988 in Missouri and Illinois for KSDK-TV. And the population of the county of St. Louis and the city of St. Louis at that time was almost identical. However, the city of St. Louis had a high African-American population, and there were literally twice as many votes that came out of the county than the city, because generally, in those days, African-Americans tended to vote at a lower rate than white voters. And we still have that today, although the Democrats have done a terrific job of energizing African-American voters and increasing that voter turnout from 8% back in 2004 to probably 13% or 14% at least in 2012.
Well, and you had mentioned the name Nate Silver just a second ago here in relation to the African American numbers, and obviously there was some critique then, and I wanted to get your take as far as critiques go. How much critique do you get on your polls, Steve?
Look, Nate Silver took a shot at me saying that the reason I had the race between Barack Obama and Mitt Romney so close as I was undersampling African Americans. Nate Silver was right, and as a matter of fact, we jacked it up, and at the end, our poll had Barack Obama winning by 5%. He won by 9.5. Bernie had it at 6, and 6 was the most accurate of anybody. So here we are. We are Bernie and I having poll estate, have it at plus 5 Obama, or plus 6 Obama, and it ends up at 9.5. All of us were not nearly as close as we like to be. 4 years earlier, I had it at 16. It came in at 16. I like to be there. Bernie likes to be there. Makes things a lot more fun when you hit it right on the head. But I think it's part of the fact is it's tougher. This job of ours, this industry of ours, is getting tougher.
And so, Bernie, as far as the critiquing goes, I'm sure you hear about it from one side or the other when they don't like the results of the poll. Do you have to have thick skin in this business?
Oh, absolutely. Over the years, I have had people criticize us when we said a month out that McCain was going to beat Bush in the Republican presidential primary. It was ugly, the stuff that Governor Engler said. Well, they're oversampling Democrats, and that can't possibly be right. Well, the day after the election, after Bush had lost, he said, you know, we've got to try and figure out a way to make sure Democrats can't participate the way they participated in this election. Well, yeah.
I got the same thing, because we were polling at that time for the Detroit News, had the same thing. Had McCain beating Bush, and in fact, as he said, McCain did beat Bush in that primary campaign.
So everybody's a pollster then when there's numbers that they don't like. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, and what I love is, you know, the Democrats were shooting at me when I had Terry Lynn Land up or down by only 2 points on September 14th. And I mean, Mark Brewer, who loves to go after everybody, is tweeting that I'm the worst pollster in Michigan and I've got these lies out again. Well, I just came out with a poll at Peter's up 13, haven't heard a word from my good friend Mark Brewer. Apparently now I've become the most accurate pollster in Michigan. No criticism this time.
That's a heck of a swing, though. 2 to 13%?
Well, I mean, I think the race started moving out. Peters has spent a lot more money than Land has spent, and I think people are beginning to look at the fact that Land was trying to run away from potential debates, and I think for whatever reason, it started moving out.
Her negatives in our polling spiked dramatically, and I think that says that the negative ads that have been run by the Peters campaign and his support groups against Land have been much more effective than the negative ads by the Land campaign and her supporters have been against Peters. And I know that a lot of those ads have been focusing on Obamacare, and there was a point where Obamacare was cutting against Peters. However, that has maximized and is no longer really having the kick that it had at one point. And so when I see ads continuing to attack Peters on Obamacare, they've already reached the maximum percent, the maximum numbers that they're going to reach by attacking on Obamacare, whereas that's not the case in terms of some of the things that they're attacking Land on.
And I think there's a second factor to this. The U.S. Senate race is still going to be impacted by what's happening in Washington and what the administration is doing. And there's been a lot of criticism about the president's handling of the Middle East. And when he began to start the bombing of ISIS and began to react strongly against what was going on in Iraq, I think that's one of the reasons we saw his favorable go down to as low as 44% in that poll that had Peters leading by only 2 points. By the time we did the poll on September 29th, his job approval was up to 49, almost 50%. And I think that Peters moves proportionally with that. Looking around the country, and I do, and I'm sure Bernie does, you see that some of these races in the Senate seats that were very, very narrow leads for Republicans or even Democrats are beginning incrementally to move out towards the Republicans, even with the president's response in bombing ISIS. You know, this could enter into this race. The wave in 2006, that huge Democratic wave with President Bush at 25%, with the Foley scandal, the House scandal with the Page, with the Bridge to Nowhere, that began to move in the second and third week in October. And so when people ask me a question, well, do you think Peters has it in the bag? My response is no.
Because there could still
because
be a late surprise.
There could be a late surprise. There could be a late surge towards Republican candidates as we it won't go towards Democrats. This is the sixth year of an administration, and only Bill Clinton has been able to gain seats going back to 1966.
History is, in fact, favoring the Republicans.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about national polls, because there's been a lot of national interest in this race for U.S. Senate and for governor, for that matter. So we've seen a lot of outside polling firms come in. Steve, I'll start with you. What national poll do you respect maybe the most?
What I like to do is look at the last election and who did well. Actually, Pew was right on the money in 2012. I always liked when Kathy, what was her name, was at CBS. She did a terrific job at CBS. I'm not sure she's there anymore, but CBS always was very accurate. Look, I think for the most part, Rasmussen is accurate, and Rasmussen has been pretty much where Bernie and I have been. Some people regard Rasmussen as a Republican, but nobody in the world has done more polling than Rasmussen in every state around.
He was heavily criticized in the last couple of elections, although this season, much less so.
So who do you think is most accurate, or who do you respect most on the national stage?
Well, in the 80s, we brought in Stan Greenberg back in my former life when I was working in the legislature, and he was extremely accurate, and indeed, he was always willing to criticize his own party and his own leaders in terms of the messaging that they used, and he continues to do that to this day. And I think that when you look at the people that that he has been a pollster for, Tony Blair and just a number of world leaders, as well as Bill Clinton and a tremendous number of other leaders, he has been very accurate. He was accurate in the 2012 election, and I have tremendous respect for his ability to test messaging and for his interpretive analysis in looking at the data.
You know, Steve, you had mentioned something a little earlier here in this podcast, and Bernie and I were talking beforehand. This was the first time I'd ever really sunk in here, but you can't poll cell phones through a robo-poll. I didn't quite realize that that was the case. And Bernie, you said that it's against the law.
Yeah, that's correct, particularly because in an automated survey, you're doing auto-dialing, and you have to connect with the cell phone by individual dialing from a live interviewer.
With that then, Steve, how does that make your job more difficult then with more people using cell phones, but you can't use the automated survey with a cell phone?
Well, what you have to do is get a high enough sample so you get voters 18 to 29 and 30 to 39. And then you have to weight it up with the computer, so you have to weight it by age. I mean, you end up, I find myself having to make assumptions that I would not have to make, and I don't have to make when I do operated calls where you're using enough cell phones to get those age groups. So you end up having to make assumptions based on background and your understanding of the electorate. And hopefully those assumptions are going to be correct assumptions, or
and essentially it is in the sampling to make sure that you have enough numbers with households having 18 to 24 and 25 to 30 year olds in those households, so that you know you're going to get a good representative sample of that group. And sometimes you even have to limit the people that you're getting, and it can be accomplished by I think the polling of the sample.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you too, because sometimes you hear, well, that was a robo poll, so it can't be as accurate as a live operator poll, but they can be just as accurate if you do it right. It sounds like
if you do it right, yes. I always preferred having live interviewers. It is more expensive, and I think there's a growing number of polling firms that have automated surveys that they will use live interviewers to get to the cell phone owners by making the individual call and then turning it over or connecting it to an automated interview. I don't know whether you've ever tried that or not, Steve, but there are some polling firms that will do that. However, that increases your cost.
Well, yeah, we can do that internally too, but in looking at some, I just was looking and scrolling through some of the numbers that we've seen here in Michigan, and actually Bernie and I have been very close to each other in terms of what we have and what we have released, and even on some of the dates. August 5th, we had Snyder at +5. 3 weeks later, on the 25th, you had Shower +2, and on the 27th, we had Snyder +1, so we're pretty close there. And then on 9/14, we had Snyder +5. On 9/17, Rasmussen had Snyder +6. And then we move into 9/29, we have it at +4. You have on the 29th, on the 25th of the 29th, you released it after I was at +6. So yeah, we've been very close in terms of what our numbers have been, and actually with Rasmussen and everybody else. But right now, the Real Clear Politics average is +3.4. We're at 4, you're at 6, so probably somewhere around 4 or 5. Yeah. 5 maybe, but okay. You know, it's a close race. So, I mean, Bernie and I have always been, and we don't ever talk. I mean, it just sort of comes out. I mean,
there's no conspiracy.
They just sort of come out, you know?
Yeah, right. The numbers are the numbers.
The numbers are what they are. Like, we came out with 13. Ed Sarpolis, your old partner, had it at 10, and you had it at 9. I mean, and none of us in advance knew what the other was going to come out with, but we all had that sort of moving out, and we all, you know, now Eddie was different than you and I in terms of the governor's race. He still has it even. I don't think it's even. You know, looking through here, there have only been, I think, of all the polls that have been conducted in this race, going all the way back to January of this year, only two polls have had Shower leading. And both of those were, you had Shower +2 in August, and then USA Today had Shower +2 on 9, 6, and 10. I just don't think it was there at that time. I mean, it may have been. We had it at +1, so we're right around the middle there. But
and in terms of the movement, back in the +2 survey where we had Shower up, in the previous poll, I said that if Shower could equalize his support among Democrats, to where Snyder was among Republicans, that he would probably take the lead. And indeed, he had 83% of Democrats. And Snyder, in following a lot of his intramural problems in terms of Republicans, dropped from the high 80s down to 82% among Republicans. Mm-hmm. This last poll showed slippage for Schauer. He went from 83 down to 75, and Snyder was getting 11% of Democrats while getting 90% of Republicans, and this followed his advertising campaign beginning after Labor Day. And Schauer was only getting 4% of Republicans, and among independents, Snyder was leading 35-30.
All right, last question here, guys. I got to wrap it up. But has there been any kind of a result that you've seen, maybe not on the governor's race or the U.S. Senate race, maybe a fun result of kind of a throwaway question that you put out there that you got a chuckle out of or kind of sticks in your head?
I used to include all kinds of weird questions. Did you marry the first girl you loved or something like that?
Right.
And I'll never forget I was interviewed on WJR, they said, well, would you answer the same question that you asked Michigan voters? And I said, no, because my wife is listening.
How about you, Steve? Do you have a fun throwaway question you threw in?
I'm trying to think of a fun throwaway question that I've done. Earlier in the game, you sort of put those on there because they're interesting to watch. But I did recently just, for the fun of it, put on a question on one of my statewide polls in Michigan. If the election were being held today, would you vote for Romney or Obama? And at the time that poll was taken, I can't remember, it's in the last couple of months, Romney actually led by 2 points among those people. And among that same group of people, they voted for Obama by about +8 or +9, equal to what the average was back in the election back in 2012. So that's probably the only fun question, if that's fun. That's only fun if you're around me.
Yeah, right. Otherwise, it's not so fun. Yeah, otherwise,
fun
it's time
in the
to.
Eye of the beholder. Yeah.
Then the fun is shoot the pollster again, right? All right, well, very good. Steve Mitchell, Bernie Porn, thanks for joining us on the podcast. Appreciate it.
Glad to be with you.
That's going to do it for this week's edition of MERS Monday. Thanks for the Michigan Press Association for sending this out far and wide. And until next week, I'm Kyle Malin. Take care.